Hey guys, what's going on? My name is Thunder John, student pastor for The Water's Edge. And I want to say thank you so much for tuning in to today's online experience. We hope that you're enjoying it so far. And if you're asking yourself, man, what's the way that I could further partner with the church? I'm going to let you know about four simple ways to do so. The first way is you can give online. You can visit watersedgegathering.com and click on giving. From there, you'll be led to eGive, our online giving platform. Or if you have a cell phone, you can text to give. You can text or give to 337-223-9003. From there, you can enter your dollar amount, and then you'll be led to on-screen instructions. Or if you have a cell phone again, go to your app store or wherever you get apps from and get the church app. It'll be a white icon with a gray cross. And from within the church app, search Water's Edge Gathering. From there, click give and you can give your tithes and offerings. Or if you want to kick it old school, you can mail in your offering. You can do so by mailing Water's Edge Gathering at P.O. Box 572, Lake Charles, Louisiana 70602, or Water's Edge Gathering at 2760 Power Center Parkway, Lake Charles, Louisiana 70607. Thank you so much, and I'll enjoy today's message from Pastor Tony.
Anxiety is a burden, and fear is a burden. Fear is not something that you constantly feel. And anxiety is not something that we constantly experience. But both fear and anxiety create something else in our life that we do feel most of the time. And that's stress. So the question becomes, what is stress? This emotional pressure, this strain and tension that you and I feel when something is causing our life to be difficult. This is stress. This constant pressure that we feel from the circumstantial difficulties of our life. You and I can try to do a lot of things to deal with our fear, anxiety, and stress. But one of the main things that we do in our life is we put up walls and we try to run away. The question is, what walls have you put up lately to try to deal with your fear, anxiety, and stress? For most of us, the walls that we put up started because of our past.
What's up, everybody? Good morning. Welcome to the Water's Edge Sunday morning online worship experience. I love you. We love you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for being generous, continuing to support us financially, also with prayer and love. We can feel the love. We're continuing to baptize people, help people. We're doing funerals, weddings. We're also continuing to feed people, reaching out to the homeless. Your generosity and your support is helping us continue to be the church. Thank you so much. Let's pray. Father, today we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for being amazing. We thank you for being so unique. But most of all, we thank you for being personal, for looking deep into our hearts and deep into our souls, deep into our thoughts, and you find love there. You love us, and so you're constantly calling to us, working on us. Thank you, Jesus. Today we want to hear from you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Our past, my past and your past, can be a very effective teacher. In fact, you and I can learn many, many lessons from our past. Several years ago, I remember I was at the mall trying on some clothes, and I walked into a store. I'm not going to tell you the name of the store because I don't want to be embarrassed again, but I walked into a store to try on some jeans and t-shirts. That day, I was looking for a couple of pairs of jeans and some new t-shirts. And also that day, under all my other clothes, I was wearing some neon green Star Wars boxer shorts. So I go into the store and I'm checking out the jeans, I'm checking out the shirts. I find a few that I want to try on and I go into the dressing room. When I walk into the dressing room, it doesn't have a door. It just has one of those big curtains that you can swing back and forth to kind of cover it up. And so I shut the curtain and I noticed as I was getting into the dressing room, there was a little box in the doorway of coat hangers that one of the workers had put there and they must have forgot there. And so, man, I'm trying on these clothes, I'm trying on these shirts, and then I move to the jeans, I'm trying on some jeans. And so I'm in between trying on pairs of jeans, and I have nothing on in that dressing room but those neon green Star Wars boxer shorts. That's all I'm wearing. And I take a step back, and when I do, I trip over that box of coat hangers, and I start to stumble. I can't catch myself, and I stumble, and I fall all the way back out of that dressing room, and I land flat on my back in the middle of the store. People all around are staring at me, looking at me. The curtain that covers the doorway goes flying, and all I have on, laying flat on my back in the middle of this store, in the middle of the mall, is neon green Star Wars boxer shorts. I have never jumped up so fast in my life. I've never put on my clothes so fast in my life, and I've never ran out of a store so fast in my life as I did on that day. Man, it was absolutely scary. And do you know, to this day, I still can't walk by that store without getting nervous? To this day, I still can't walk by that store without getting sweaty and all those types of things. And I never go in that store because I don't want to be reminded of my past embarrassment in that store. But that's what our past does. Our past has taught you and I what to stress about. Our past has taught you and I what to be nervous about, what to worry about, what to fear, and what to stress over. I was so embarrassed that day in that store, I can remember thinking, I'm never doing this again. I'm never gonna come into the mall again. Of course, I went back to the mall. This was years ago, but I've never been back to that store again. And I remember that day thinking and telling myself, I'm never gonna set foot in this store again because it's just too embarrassing. Silly example, I know. But you and I have also been through other things in our past, moments of pain, moments of heartache, moments of discouragement, moments of tragedy, moments of confusion, moments of depression, deep things in our past that have deeply hurt us, deep failures in our past, deep weaknesses, deep regrets. And after that, we know that I don't ever want to feel that way again. I don't ever want to go through that again. I don't ever want to experience that again. And so this is what we do. We start to put up walls because of our past. Have you ever thought to yourself or even said, I don't ever want to go back to my past? You ever thought about that? You ever said that? I don't ever want to go back to my past. I remember the old regrets. I remember the old feelings. I remember the old sadness. I remember the old emptiness. I remember all the fear and all the stress and all the embarrassment and all the pain. I'll never try that again. I'll never date that person again. I'll never jump into another relationship that quick again. I'll never go there again. I'll never say that again. I'll never be a part of that again. It's just too painful. I just don't want to go back. And those moments in our past have produced fear, anxiety, and stress in our life for the present, but also for the future. And so we put up walls, which brings us to a very crucial point. And this is what it is today. Notice this. If you're still with me, say I'm still with you. Our fears for the future are fueled by our experiences from the past. My past no longer has to control me or bully me or push me around, but my past does become a problem when I let my past create fear, anxiety, and stress over the future. Now, most people do two things when trying to deal with their past. The first thing is this, they just run away from it. They try to cover it up. They try to hide from it. They try to have all these secrets. They try to numb it. They just try to get away from it and forget about it. They just try to run away from their past. The second thing people do is this to deal with their past is they put up walls. This is what I mean. We set up walls and notice this. These are the different types of things that we do that build walls in our life. And these are the walls, walls of withdrawal, anger, self-pity, bad habits, criticizing others, carelessness, and isolation. And we use these walls to try to protect us from ever feeling those feelings from our past again. We use the walls of withdrawal. We use the walls of anger. We use the walls of bad habits and self-pity and being critical and carelessness and isolation so we can protect ourselves from ever feeling those feelings of embarrassment and failure or regret or whatever feelings we're dealing with again from our past because it's so painful. Now, real quick, let's see what the missionary Paul said to see if we could look at our past in a different way. Now, in the letter that we're about to read, Paul is writing about a man named Onesimus. And Onesimus had some sort of painful past with another Christian, another man named Philemon. And so Onesimus left and he ran away from Philemon. And in the meantime, Onesimus meets the Apostle Paul. He gives his life to Jesus. He becomes a follower of Jesus Christ. And Paul becomes like his spiritual father and his mentor. And then notice what Paul says about Onesimus to Philemon in Philemon chapter 1. And we'll start reading in verse 8. That is why I am boldly asking a favor of you, Paul says. I could demand it in the name of Christ because this is the right thing to do. But because of our love, I prefer simply to ask you. Consider this as a request from me, Paul, an old man, now also a prisoner for the sake of Christ Jesus. So right here, Paul writes to Philemon and says, I have a favor to ask you. I have a request to ask you in love, and I'm asking you to consider this in love because it has to do with someone that we both know, and this is the right thing to do. We move on with verse 10. I appeal to you, Paul says, to show kindness. I appeal to you to show kindness to my child, Onesimus. I became his father in the faith while here in prison. Onesimus hasn't been much use to you in the past. He hasn't been much use to you in the past, but now, get that, but now. So there's the past and it's painful, but now he says he is very useful to both of us. So apparently something happened and it made Onesimus feel ashamed. It made him feel pressured. It made him feel burdened. It made him feel like running away, and it made him feel like a failure. Have you ever had something in your past make you feel that way? Like you're just ashamed, useless, hurt, wounded, afraid that it may happen again, stressed that it may happen again, anxious that you may go through this again and experience this pain again. Our past can fuel our fears and stress for the future. Verse 12, Paul says this, I am sending him, Onesimus, back to you, and with him comes my own heart. So I'm sending him back to deal with the things that he left behind because now his life is in a better place to deal with what was behind him that he ran away from that he hasn't faced yet. And so I'm sending him back to do an honest evaluation of what's behind him so he can make things right. You know, you and I can't always hide from our past behind our walls, and we can't always run from it either. Sooner or later, you and I have to come to this place in our life where we're willing to face it and deal with it and take an honest inventory of our heart as to why we get defeated so often by this weakness and that weakness and this weakness and that weakness. There's nothing wrong with going back to your past if you go back to your past strong enough to deal with what you need to deal with that caused you to run away in the first place. Now, this is the key part, and catch this in this story. Back in the days of Paul, if you owed someone else a debt, if you owed them money, then back then you had to work for them as their servant, some people say slaves, but as their slave or servant until you paid that debt off. And so many times when the Bible talks about servants or slaves, they're really not talking about someone who wants to own another human. They're really just talking about someone who owes someone else a debt, and they will have to be their servant until they pay that debt off. In fact, the Old Testament says the borrower is a slave to the lender. And think about that. That's still kind of true today. When you pay your house note every month, you're a slave to that mortgage until you get it paid off. If you just bought a vehicle and you pay on that vehicle every month, you can't just decide not to pay it or there's consequences. You're sort of a slave to that debt until you pay it off. Well, this wasn't right and this wasn't good, but this is what they did back in the New Testament days. If you owed someone else a debt, then you had to be their servant until you paid it off in full. And apparently, Philemon had this servant named Onesimus, and something went wrong. Onesimus owed Philemon a large amount of money. And as he was serving him to try to pay it off, working for him, trying to pay it off, something went bad and something went wrong, and Onesimus took off. Now, keep all that in mind and notice what Paul says in verses 16 through 18. He is no longer like a servant or a slave to you. He is more than that. For he is a beloved brother, especially to me, Paul says. Now, he will mean much more to you both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. Notice what Paul says. You have to look at everybody not as property, but as people and children of God. And when you learn to look at everyone else in this life as people, then people start to mean more to you. Man, I could preach on that all day. Somebody say amen. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, notice this, charge it to me, Paul says. If Onesimus has hurt you, if he has harmed you in any way, if he has damaged this relationship, if he owes anything to you, then you charge it to me. Paul says, I have seen him change his life, and if he owes you anything, I'll pay for it. I'll pay for all of it because I believe in him and he's different. You know what Paul was saying right here? That people who love Jesus always stand up for people. We always stand up for the oppressed. We always want the best for all people. So Paul says he can do this, he's transforming, which leads me to another point. Remember this today. When you have to face again, right now, what hurts you in the past, if you're not the same person as you once were, then you can respond in a completely different way. Now, when it comes to dealing with the pain and the stress of our past, let's notice some different ways that we can respond very quickly. The first new response is this. Number one, give yourself some grace. Stop tearing yourself down. Stop guilting yourself. Stop beating yourself up. A lot of times, the hardest person for you and I to forgive is ourselves. We can forgive everyone else in this life, but we have such a hard time forgiving ourselves, and we guilt ourselves so much. By the way, if you attend the Water's Edge, if you're a part of the Water's Edge family, you absolutely attend a church that doesn't condemn you or judge you over anything in your past. And so you have that going for you. And so don't guilt yourself when you attend a church that's never going to do that to you, and you serve a God who's trying to give you love and peace instead of tearing you down. Give yourself some grace. And I know so many times when we think about doing that, we think that we're hypocrites and we think that we're compromising. But listen, God just doesn't want to give you grace. He wants to turn you into a person of grace. And most of the time, the first person you need to start with that you've torn down the most is yourself. Give yourself some love today and some grace. The second thing is this, have confidence in the process of life change. Yes, your past has pain and regret and embarrassment and shame and guilt and hurt and heartache, but that's not who you are today. And that doesn't have to define you for the rest of your life either. Nothing in your past ever has to define you for the rest of your life. And I've met so many church people who hold people's past against them. You can even tell them, man, this person, this man, this woman, this young person, this student, they've really changed. They really love Jesus. And some religious person will always come and say, yeah, but I remember them back then. I remember what they used to say. And I always want to ask people, do you even believe in the gospel? Do you even believe in forgiveness? I believe it. That's why I do what I do. If my life can change, I know. Listen, I used to do things that would embarrass the devil. I've had so much shame in my past. If I can change, if I can be forgiven, if my life can serve God now, I believe it, man. That's why I talk about it. That's why I share it. But I run into a lot of religious people who deep down by their comments about other people who are changing, maybe they don't believe it. But I know this. God changes lives. So be confident in your process of life change. You are not where you need to be, but you're not where you used to be either. Number three, honestly confront your personal weaknesses. Listen, what you run away from will one day outrun you. Let me say that again. What you run away from will one day outrun you. There's nothing wrong with sitting with yourself and doing an honest search and evaluation of those patterns in your life that you need to change. Number four, you still with me, Sam? Still with you? Because this is a tough one. Give other people some grace. How long will you hold other people's past against them? How long will you hold other people's mistakes against them? How long will you hold other people's regrets and guilt and shame and past mistakes against them? How long will you make people pay for their failures? What opinion about someone else are you still holding on to? What grudge about someone else are you still holding on to? What gossip, what judgment, what criticism about someone else are you still holding on to? God gives you grace when you need it. Give other people grace when they need it, because when you don't, that says more about your heart than it says about their past. Give them some grace. Can you imagine how Onesimus felt when Paul told Philemon, if he owes you anything, charge it to me. I believe in his process of life change. I'm giving him some grace. I bet that fired him up. I bet that pushed him even harder towards life change. Stress is caused by pressure. Stress is caused by the pressure of life. Stress is not something that you and I can ever eliminate from our life. It's not something that we can eradicate from our life, but it is something that you and I can manage. And this is how you manage it. You manage it through number one, perspective. Fear and stress is driven out by love. And you have to understand that God loves perfectly and God loves you perfectly. And so the next time fear, anxiety, and stress, and all that stress that fear, anxiety creates, the next time it tackles you in this life, tell yourself and remind yourself that you're a child of God and God loves you perfectly no matter what. And let that love cast out that fear. The second thing is this, prayer. Anxiety is driven out by focus and being humble. When we pray, those are two things that we do as we pray. We focus on Jesus and we're humble. And this is a great tool to help you manage anxiety. And then number three, lastly, personal investigation. What you run away from one day will outrun you and cause the same stress in your life as it did in the past. You can change. You can change. You can be different. You can face your past. You can overcome those things in your past that has caused you so much fear and anxiety, that has in return caused so much constant stress in your life. And this is how I know you can do it. Because as you follow Jesus, even as you take baby steps, your life is changing. It's not the same. You're not the same. And so you don't have to outrun your past. You don't have to put up walls. You don't have to hide from it. We just keep following Jesus. He keeps changing our life and he gives us a new life. And that gives us a new way to respond to those evil battles that we face with fear, anxiety, and stress. And so we press in and we keep following Jesus. We love you. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We hope you have a great, great, great rest of the week. Thank you.
What an amazing message from Pastor Tony. So helpful and so practical. I hope you got something out of it today. And if you want to follow us on social media, check us out at Water's Edge Gathering on Facebook and at Water's Edge_LC on Instagram. And if you have the church app, make sure to check us out where you can do online worship, you can do online giving, and listen to messages from Pastor Tony. We absolutely love you guys, and we hope you have a fabulous week.